Let's begin. Okay, so today's daf is daf pay base. So we're starting the beginning of the second line. Okay, Gufa Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi says, Kol makom she'amar Rav Yehuda emaseh bamev mishnaseinu ela. So that's Rabbi Shua ben Levi, right? We saw a disagreement yesterday between Rabbi Shua ben Levi and I believe it was Shmuel, who that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says whenever in the Mishnah it says a Masai or Bameh, so it's just they're not arguing, you're explaining. Rabbi Yochanan Amar a Masai lifareish bameh lachlok. So he, Rabbi Yochanan, has a different view that the word a Masai means that whenever the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi writes a Masai, or whenever Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda in our mission says a Masai, he's coming to explain the Tanakhama. And when he says the word bameh, then he's coming to argue. Okay? So the Gemara is going to ask on a question. From the following Mishnah, that midoraisa, from a Torah perspective, a gazlan is a thief is pasul edus. He can't be a witness, and there are some people who are not considered gazlan and midoraisa, but they're not considered from a Torah perspective thieves. But the Chachamim consider them thieves and render them invalid for testimony. So the Mishnah says what? Is it true that whenever Yehuda says a masai is coming to explain, v'atanad, but we're learning a Mishnah, eluhein hapsulin, who are the people? This is in Sanhedrin. Who are the people who are invalid for testimony? Hamasachik b'kuvia, that they play with dice, malva baribis, they lend with interest, umafri chayona, and they play gambling games with pigeon racing, with sochrei shviz, and they do business on shemitah. So Amar Yehuda, a masai. When is this? Bizman she'ein lo umnos ella he aval yesh lo umnos shalohi hareza kasher. So Yehuda says this halacha that if you, that's the right, the big shaila. Can you go to Atlantic City? Can you go gambling? So the Tanakhama seems to say that if you gamble, then you cannot be a witness. You're considered a gazlan drabanan. That, and Rabbi Yehuda says that no, it's only if that's your profession. But if you, because eino osek be, the language is, I think, believe that eino osek be yeshiva sholom. You're not engaged in a productive activity. There are generally two different reasons that are brought down the Gemara why we don't gamble. One is because it's called an asmachta, because maybe it's theft. Because when you gamble, when you're playing dice, you basically believe you're going to win. So you're not, even though the other guy takes the money, you don't really have intent to give the person the money because you don't believe you're going to lose. So it's called a smachta lokanya. And the other opinion is because you're not engaged in yeshuvo shel olam, you're not engaged in productive activity. If that's the reason, then presumably there's more of a leniency to do this as like entertainment, you know, on the side, because the issue is only if you don't have another profession. In any case, that's Rabbi Huda's distinction there. So Vitani Alab Brisa Vachamomim Bain Chain Lo Umnus Elohiu Bain Chesh Umnus Shalohi Arayza Pasa. The Chamim in the Brisa says that you cannot engage in these activities whether you have another profession or not. So what do we see from here? That Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakhama and not merely explaining the Tanakhama. So how can you say that a Masai is according to both Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon ben Levi, they both say a Masai is coming lefaresh to explain. That's clearly not the case in this instance. So the Gemara answers, Hahid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ritarfon Hi. No, he's saying that the Braisa, which says that when you have another profession, you're invalid, that's not the Chachamim. There are different types of quote unquote Chachamim. I mean, Chachamim just means in general, the sages, who are they? So that Braisa is actually Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ritarfon Hi. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishim Rabbi Tarfon, Lolam Ein Echad Mehen Nazir Lefish Ein Nazirus Ela Lehafla. Because Rabbi Yehuda's name is Rabbi Tarfon, that even after it's clarified, the case is the following. Let's say there are two people sitting, and they see one person is coming, and they are discussing whether this person is a Nazir. And one of them say, and one of them says, I am going to be a Nazir if this person is a Nazir. And the second person says, I'm going to be a Nazir if this person who's coming by is not a Nazir. So they both said this misafik out of doubt, because they both don't know if he's a Nazir or not. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Tarfon, ain echem him Nazir. He says that neither of them is a Nazir. Lefishe Nazirus el afla, because Nazirus doesn't take effect unless you accept it with clarity and precision. But if you accept it ala safik, in case, like you're saying, oh, I'm when you accept it, it's based on doubt, when you're not clear that you're definitely doing it. So therefore, it's not chal. The Nazirus is not chal. The Nazirus is not valid. Alma, we see, kevan de misapkale, if a person is in doubt whether something's coming to him or not, inazir, in lo nazir hu, lo mishabin nafshe, he's not going to, we say that a person does not obligate himself on a state of suffix. Hachanami, so here also, by the case of the dice player, kevan de lo yada, ikane lo kane, lo gomer makne, since the person doesn't know whether he's going to win or not, right, it's not based on yeshuva sha'olam, it's not based on, well, is he engaged in a good profession, it's based on whether he doesn't know if he's going to win or not, so that he has not concretized his intent to give his friend the money. And really then, when Rabbi Yehuda says, a Masai, he is not coming to argue on the Chachamim. Because again, what we're concluding here is the following. The Chachamim, whoever they are, say something in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda clarifies their intent, and we don't know who the Chachamim are, but they're not Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, the Braisa, argues on Rabbi Yehuda and apparently also the Chachamim. And Rabbi Tarfon and the Braisa hold that you cannot engage in these activities even if you have another profession. But Rabbi Yehuda, who is explaining the Mishnah, will say that you can engage, yes, you can engage in these activities even if, as long as you have another profession. Okay, so Hadron Allah Chalom. So this is the end of the sixth chapter. It's the end of the seventh chapter. Now we're going to move to the eighth chapter. Ketzad Mishtatfim. So this perek is going to conclude, I guess, the halachos of Erev Tchum and Erev Chatzeros that are just to finish up, complete them, because most of the halachos were said in, you know, Prakim Gimel through Zion. The Mishnah, just to clarify again, the Mishnah says you can't, I'm sorry, just an introduction to the Mishnah, you can't leave your tchum 2,000 hours outside your makom shvisa, your center of residence. So, and 2,000 hours is called tchum Shabbos. And therefore, if you stay in the city, so you can go up to 2,000 hours in any direction outside the borders of the city. If your place of residence is outside the city, you can go up to 2,000 hours in any direction from your center of residence. And if you leave the city in Erev Shabbos and you leave two meals far from the city within the tchum, and through that, your Kona Shvisa there, you establish your Shvisa there, your center of residence there. Even if you return to the city and you were there at the onset of Shabbos, it's as if you rested or you established your place of residence in the place where you left your two meals, and that's called Eruv Tchumim. And you can go from that Eruv 2,000 hours in any direction. This is obviously explained in a lot of places in Prakim Gimel Tehei. Our mission is going to add some halachos to explain that when a lot of people from the city want to go on Shabbos to a particular place outside the Tchum of the city, one person can leave an Erev Tchumim for all of them. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishtatfim B'Tchumim, how can you join together with a Ruvei Tchumim? Miniach Es HaChavis. Ve'omer HaRezeh L'chol B'nei Iri, L'chol Mishyelech L'Beis HaEvel, O L'Beis HaMishtah. So one person can leave a barrel of food of a distance of 2,000 hours from the city in any direction they choose. And he could say that this food is for anyone from the people of my city who needs this Eruv, meaning that anyone who wants to go to a house of mourning to comfort or to a house of to be Mesameh Chasam Mekala, so he could do that. Remember we mentioned that the halacha is that you can only utilize this Eruv Tchumim if you want to go Litzorech Mitzvah, for the purpose of a Mitzvah. So they give two examples of Nichma Velim and Simchas Chasim Mikala. V'chol Shekibel Alav Mibod Yom, and anyone who accepts upon himself to rely on this Eruv, and to go out to the tchum of the city, mutar, you're allowed to go. However, mishatechshach aser, shein rabbi mishatechshach. But if after Shabbos began, after it's dark, you cannot leave the tchum Shabbos, because you can't make an Erev Tchumim after it gets dark, because your center of residence is acquired at the onset of Shabbos, and after it's Shabbos, so the place has been, that your center has been established, and you can't be Kona Shvisa, you can't acquire a new place of Shvisa in the place of, you know, you can't do that once Shabbos begins. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ein Marvim El Bar Mitzvah.
Whoever wants to be included has to accept it.
I think it sounds at this stage.
It's not whether you set up the A room, the food.
You clearly right. You
certainly has to be doing the day.
Right.
But whether everybody was macabre, everybody was macabre.
Well,
other individuals were macabre that.
Okay, just to clarify what you're saying, I'm not sure if what I'm going to say is what you're saying, but I think there are two steps to this, right? There's one is putting the food down, and number two, acceptance. So I think, so both have to happen before Shabbos, but right. But I don't know if it means that every single person of the city has to be mekabel before Shabbos. I think what the Mishnah is saying is that a person can put down food and say, I'm doing this for anyone from my city who wants. And then anyone, let's say there are 100 people in the town, and you say, I'm doing this from anyone who wants, this is going to be their center of residence. This is going to be their Malkum Shvisa. And then what will happen? Any one of those 100 who is Mekabel, who accepts that I'm going to rely on this Eruv, that this will be my center, so you can rely on it. But I don't think everyone has to. Okay. So I'm not sure. Okay. So Rabbi Yos, what?
From the Pashtus, it's Mechol Shekiba Olav Mebao Jamutar. Mishatechshach Asur.
Right.
Shein Marvin Mishatechshach.
Right. Okay.
No, he's asking whether or not you have to make the declaration that I accept this.
I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. I'm saying, right. I'm saying the answer is yes. I'm saying that you obviously have to leave the food for before Shabbos. And
that's
number one. And number two is that anyone who wants to rely on this has to accept upon himself. All I'm saying, I wasn't sure from your question, Howie, whether you meant does every single person from the town have to do that?
No. Only if they want to be.
Yes. Agreed. Yes, agreed. So now Rav Yosef is making a further qualification, which I sort of made based on the examples of the Mishnah, which is what? That you can only do it for a Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what's Rabbi Yosef teaching us? What's his chiddush? The examples of the Mishnah were specifically were mitzvah examples. So obviously he was giving those, the Mishnah was giving those examples because they were dvar mitzvah. So what's this new chiddush, new teaching Rabbi Yosef is telling us is obvious from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, maybe he said this is classically why people relied on it, but it's lab dafka, it doesn't have to be for the purpose of the mitzvah. So if Yosef has clarified that what it says in the Mishnah, he's not just giving regular examples, but he's saying this is only for a dvar mitzvah. The Mishnah also says that kol misha kibala mibod yom. So it seems that you have to rely, you have to accept it before dark, but if you heard that your friend put an Eruv for anyone who wants, and you didn't decide yet until after Shabbos, then the Eruv doesn't help you. So that's what it seems like. Shabbat Mina, Ein Breira. So we learn, so it seems from this Mishnah, we hold of Ein Breira, that something that's not clear at the onset is only clarified after some time. We don't say that we look retroactively that it happened beforehand. D-E, right, there's a big debate. We saw it earlier. In a Mishnah about if you put your you make two Eruvim or you say you put two Eruvim, one to the west of the town, one to the east of the town, you say, well, if the Chacham's coming here, then I want my Eruv to be in the west. If the Chacham's coming here, I want my Eruv to be to the east. So that was the debate, whether you could do that or not. Whether you hold Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. So here is Gemara saying the Yesh Breira, if we actually hold Yesh Breira, then Tigle Milsa, my friend, Modyom Havenichalei. So why can't you say that let him say even on Shabbos itself, I want to use, again, you have two options, right? The guy from the city, either he's not going to use the Eruv and his center of residence of the city, or he will use the Eruv and right? So why can't you say that? Whatever he just decides in the middle of Shabbos, so then Lemafreir, we can say Yesh Breira. So then retroactively, we view it as if he made his decision even before Shabbos. So since we don't say that, so obviously the Mishnah, we learn from the Mishnah, Ein Breira. Amar Vashi, Rashi says, he says, no, it doesn't mean that you need to accept it while it's still daytime, but rather the Tana is telling us that if they informed him while it's still day that his friend placed an heir for him, that is sufficient, even though he didn't explicitly say that he's relying on it. And we do say that it was clarified before the time of when the Erev has to be acquired, then he was thinking about it. But if he wasn't notified until dark, so then the halacha brera would not apply. So that is what we're saying here is the following, that actually you don't have to, if you hold yesh brera, then the Mishnah must be saying the following, that all you need before Shabbos is not to accept the Eruv food that as the center of residence, but you merely need to be notified. And you could even accept it at the after Shabbos begins, and then we would say Yesh Breira. So there are two ways to learn the Mishnah. Does Kibbel Mol Yom mean that he officially accepted it, or does it mean that he was notified? Amar Vasi Katad Ben Sheish Yotze Be'er Vibo. A child, the age of six, or the Meiri says it's his entire sixth year, so it's not after he has completed 6 years. So he says that that age, six or below, yotze be'er vibo, that if his mother made an eruv for herself, even though she didn't explicitly, she didn't explicitly confer rights to the child, and she didn't make an eruv for him, nevertheless, he is considered like her because he follows her, and he's a little kid, so he does whatever she does. So therefore, he can rely on his mother's Eruv, even if there's whatever she does, so he follows her. Veisve katat tzarich libo yotze be'er vibo v'she eid tzarich libo eid yotze be'er vibo. We have a question because the Bryce says a child who needs his mother can rely on her Eruv. But if he's a little bit of a child, grown up a little bit, he doesn't need his mother, he does not rely on his mother's Eruv. So similarly, by a sukkah, we say a child doesn't need his mother, he's also obligated sukkah mitrabanan based on chiduch. There's a debate, Rashi and Tosos in general, what's the mitzvah of chiduch? Is a mitzvah, we say it's a rabbinic mitzvah on the child, or do we say it's a mitzvah on the parent to educate the child? That's a machlokas. And what's clear is that what he's saying here is that you are a child doesn't need his mother anymore. So now he's chayv in sukkah midrabanan. Vavina ba eiza katan shein tzarich limo. So what's the age? It's okay. So amri devei rav yadai kol shedifne vein imo mekanachto. Any child who's I guess potty trained, he can go to the bathroom. And his mom doesn't need his mother to clean him. Rabbi Shimon ben Lagashel, Merikosha, Ne'er Mishnah Sov, Ena Kari Ima. Any child that wakes up from his sleep, it doesn't cry, mommy, so that she comes to him. So the Gemara stops the question. We haven't done the question yet because we are still questioning. So we want to clarify what Reish Lakish is really saying here. So the Gemara says, Ema Sokodaita Kedolim Nami Karu. So do you mean to say that anyone who calls his mother, calls out mother when he wakes, is considered tzarich libo? Even older children call out at times to their mother. They call out mother when they wake up. Ella ema kol shenei mishna sov ena kore ima ima. Rather, it means that anyone who wakes up from his sleep, it doesn't cry out ima ima without stopping until his mother comes to him. But ima one time is not sufficient. So now, the Gemara wants to clarify, okay, still, what age is that, right? All you said so far is that a child doesn't need his mother as someone who can clean himself after he goes to the bathroom, or he doesn't call up mother, mother, when he wakes up. So what's the age? So the Kaaba, Kvar Arba, Kvar Chavesh. So really, it depends. Anyone according to his sharpness, at least 4 or 5. So what do we see? That at least what's clear, according to everyone, is that by the age of 5, you're definitely considered someone who doesn't need his mother, and you don't, and you therefore you can't be yotze with your mom's eruv. So, right. So this is a contradiction. Quote Rav Asi. Say Rav Asi says that a child who's in his 6th year, he can basically rely on his mother's eruv, but because he's still tzarach li'imo. But we say that tzarach li'imo is the age of 4 or 5. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yeshua Brei Rav Idi. So Rav Yeshua Brei Rav Idi is going to explain Rav Asi a little bit different. He says, Kika Amar Rav Asi, She'irev Alav Aviv Litzafam V'im Aladarom, Nafilu Bar Sheish Namim V'tzavsad Iba Nicholai. He says, no. So this case that... He said, you're right, that the child who's 4 or 5 doesn't need his mother anymore. So what's this age of 6 that he's talking about? It's a case where his father made an Eruv to the north. And his mother ate the Eruv. His father made an Eruv for the child to the north. And his mother made an Eruv for the child to the south. And then, so even a child who's 6 follows his mother, and therefore they're saying, so like in other words, you have a dispute, right? The father is saying, you're coming with me this Shabbos, mother, so you're coming with me this Shabbos. Father makes the Erev to the north, the mother makes the Erev to the south, and so which one do we assume that the child is going to? We assume that a child of 6 basically follows his mother and not his father. So therefore, that it's his mother, the Erev of his mother is what confers the rights to him and not the Erev of his father. Meisfei, but we have a challenge to that also. No, we have an explicit brisa which says that a child, as long as he needs his mother, he can go out with his mother's eruv. And what's the age? Until he is 6. The Gemara rejects that from, he says, Tiyufta, based on that, it rejects the opinion of Yeshua Bar Ravidi. Now we're rejecting Rishu Ravidi. It's like, no, it's not. It's clear the age is 6. So then Lema to have a Chufta de Rav Asi. So maybe now this is a. So let's say that the Bryce is also a rejection of Rav Asi, because the Rav Asi said that a child who is 6 follows his mother's Eruv. The Bryce says only until 6 he follows his mother's Eruv. Amalach Rav Asi. Rav Asi said to you, Ad Vad Bichlal. It means the same thing. It means until and including the age of 6. Let's say this Brisa is a child to Rav Yana and Rav Reish Lakish. Because why? They're saying it's age of 4 or 5. And the Brisa is saying 6. Lokasha habi isei avu b'masa ha b'dala isei avu b'masa. He's saying no. When Rav Yana and Reish Lakish is saying their age of 4 or 5, that's when the father of the child is with him in the city. So then already from the age of 4 or 5, the child is not relying so much on his mother because sometimes he goes out with his father. And therefore, he's not tzarech le'imo. So when the father's present, then the child is not always tzarech le'imo. And then that's at the age of 4 or 5. When his father's not around, right? Delo isei avoy b'ma. So when the father's not around and he's not in town, so then the child will stay with the mother until around the age of 6. So then it's speaking about two different cases, one where the father is around, one when the father is not around. Okay, so we learn above in the Mishnah that a person can only place an Erev Tchumim for someone else if it's with his friend's consent. Because we hold Zachi L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav, Ein Chav Adam Shelo B'Fanav. You can confer a benefit to someone even without his consent. But you cannot confer a liability to someone without his consent. And maybe, right, when you're putting an Eruv, so maybe the other person, what you're doing is you're giving him, you're not adding 2,000 amos necessarily. You are simply moving the center to a different location. So you're gaining 2,000 amos in one direction, but you're losing 2,000 amos in a different direction. So Tana Rabbanan. Me'ariv Adam al yedei b'no b'tok tanim al yedei avdo shibasa k'nanim b'in datam b'in shalom b'datam. Person can make an erev tichumim for his son, for his young son and daughter, or also for his non-Jewish slaves or maidservants, whether with their consent or even without their consent. It's still valid because basically the Rashba writes that since we hold that you can only make an Erev Tchumin for the purpose of a mitzvah, so at least with your children, like what's with your children, because you can be mechanech, you can educate your young children with Tzorech Mitzvah, so the Chachamim say that you can also make an Erev Tchumin for them because you want them to fulfill a particular mitzvah. So it relates to that. And why can you force it on your maidservant? So the halacha is because since their goof, their body is sort of kareh to you, you have rights to them. So therefore that works. That's according to the Ritva. So in any case, aval ein ma'arev lo al yedei avdo b'shivchas avriyim lo yedei b'no b'tok dolim lo yedei ishto el midatam. When it comes to Jewish servants, or your children who are bar mitzvah, or so that the mitzvah of chinuch is no longer devolve upon the parent, or your wife, so there you need their consent, because if you don't, then it could be a chova to them, it could be a liability to them. Tanya idach. So the Gemara brings another brisa, which is actually a little bit broader. Lo yarev adab al yedei. So you can't make an error for your children who are older children. Or for your Jewish maidservant. Right? You can't do it. Always has to be with your intent. With their intent for older children, Jewish slaves, or wife. But you can make an eruv for non-Jewish slaves or young children, even without their consent. Because their body is sort of acquired to you in a sense. So if all these people who made an eruv for themselves, and then you made an eruv, and then you made an eruv for them in another direction, then their eruv, what they did for themselves, is not valid. Only what you did is valid. Chutz min ha'isha, except for your wife, that she is koneh the eruv that she made for herself, and not what the husband did for her. Nei sheyachol limchos, because she can say, you can protest and say, I don't want the Eruv that my husband placed. Okay? So, in other words, this Brisa is sort of expanding that, and it's adding that, in other words, even if they established, so I guess we're going to have to actually. The Gemara is now going to explain, I guess, this brisa. So the Gemara says, Isha Vaishna, why is a wife different from an Eved Ivri or Beno Bito Agdolim? Don't we say normally that they can protest? So why here only by the wife do we say that only the wife can protest? So he's saying that Amarava Isha V'chol D'Dabila. They said, right, it's not just the wife, but even Eved Ivri and older children also that they could protest. So now the Gemara is going to now bring a question from this brisa. Amar mar, chutz min isha b'nei sheyachol limchos, that your wife can protest. Taima demachi, the reason why you can't be kona and eruv for her is because why? Is because she is considered like she's protesting. Hastama nafka b'debala, but if she doesn't protest, then let's say she doesn't say anything. Right? If she doesn't say anything, so then what would the negative implication be? That her husband can make an error for her. It's only if she protests that it's not valid. But Akhtari Reisha, Alamidatam. So it seems from the The Reisha, the first part of the Braisa, says that what? That you need to, that you cannot make an Eruv for your wife unless she consents. She has to explicitly consent. And the Seifa says that only if she protests, it doesn't work. But that means if she doesn't protest, just stam, if she doesn't, you know, it doesn't say one way or the other, then it would be valid. So that seems to be a contradiction. So, right? So, Hagdari Reisha, Elabidatam. So, my love, the Amri Ian, is not the case of the Braisa that they said yes. In other words, that that they said yes, meaning that we informed explicitly, that they informed explicitly that the Eruv is good. So then we have a question, right, that from the Seifa of the Braisa, that even if the woman didn't say anything, then the Eruv seems to be valid from the Seifa, right? If she didn't say anything, then it's valid unless she protests. But the Reisha seems to say that she actually needs to say something. So the Gemara answers, lo, my elamidatam de ishtiku lafuke hecha de amri lo. When the Reisha says midatam, it simply means that they heard, they were notified that he made the Eruv for her, but she didn't say anything. If she didn't say anything, then shtika koda, it's as if she accepted it. But if she didn't accept it, then if she didn't accept it, then it's not valid. So in other words, what we're saying here is that, right, there are three different possibilities. One is she wasn't notified, in which case it would seem that it would not be valid for your wife. The next case is that she was notified and she didn't say anything. In that case, we're saying that we assume that she accepts it. And then the third case is where she's notified and she protests, in which case it's not valid. So, v'ha v'chulan she'erbu v'erav aleyav rabban yotzi v'shel rabban u'stamahu v'katani chutz bin isha delo nafki. So, but wait a second. The Gemara wants to say that didn't the Braisa say that with all of them, if they made an Eruv, and the quote-unquote master also makes an Eruv for them, then they follow their master, and that seems to be where they didn't say anything, and that's except for the wife, who would not be the case. So what? So it proves that even when she is quiet, she is not yotze with the Eruv that her husband placed in front of her, because it says chutz mina isha. So Amarava, kevan she'ervu, ein lecha michoy gadol mizeh. Saying no, Rav is saying that once the wife makes an or whatever, once they make an eruv, or all these people make an eruv in another direction, that there's no protest greater than that. That their actions demonstrate it's as if they said explicitly that they don't want the eruv that was made for them. But really, if they were silent and they didn't make an Eruv in another direction, the Eruv would be valid. In other words, don't assume that the case of a Chulam She'erv, Erev Aleim, Rabban Yotzi Mishel Rabban, that's a case where they don't say anything. No, it's true, they don't say anything. But the fact that they place their Eruv food in a different direction, it's as if they are protesting. And what do we say? So if your wife or anyone similar to her, in other words, older children or Hebrew slaves, so they all make another Eruv, it's as if they're saying, we don't want your Eruv. And that is a valid rejection. So what we're concluding from this price is, again, the following. That once they're notified and they don't say anything, so then they are, in effect, accepting. But if they make another Eruv, then they're, in effect, saying, we don't want your Eruv. And they don't go by their master's Eruv. So the Mishnah says, the next Mishnah says the following. Kama. Shushi uro, mazon shtei sudos l'kol echad ve'echad. So what is the shir, the food that you leave for an erev tchumim? So that is the food for two meals for each and every one for whom they are leaving for them. This is different than erev chatzeros, because what's the goal of erev chatzeros? The goal of erev chatzeros is to join everyone in the courtyard, to join everyone in the chatzer. Since the goal is to join everyone, so you're taking food, that's Muslim shtei sudos, and you're joining them all together. So therefore, you don't need for each and every person. You're joining everyone together. However, Erevei Tchumim, that's for everyone separate. That I'm placing food for you separately, for you separately, for you separately. So each one of you can establish your center of residence. The goal is not to join everyone. That's simply to allow people to walk. Therefore, you need two meals for each and every person. Now, the Mizono L'chol below L'Shabbos, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir is of the opinion that the shear for the food for one food is for your mazon is for a regular meal, not for a Shabbos meal. That's Rav Meir. If you don't marry, it's the opposite. The Shabbos below the chol. No, it has to be enough food for Shabbos. There's people probably have a little more food for Shabbos. So v'zeh v'zeh mishtavi l'hokel. But actually, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda want to be more lenient in their argument. Why? Because the Rav Meir holds that on Shabbos you eat more, because since you have good foods, you have sweet foods, so you're going to eat more meals. So therefore, he's saying you can be lenient and you only need the food of the weekday. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Shabbos you eat less for every meal. Why? Because you eat three meals. So therefore, he says you should have like the Shabbos food meal. So both are being lenient, but based on different assumptions. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko says, it's kibikikar bepudyon me arba se'in besela. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko says, food of two meals is like the shear of how much a loaf of bread can be bought with a pundion, which is 1/48 of a sela, when be'arbas eat besela, when 4 sa'ar of wheat are sold for a sela. Rabbi Shimon Ober, shtei yados lakikar bishalosh lakav. So he says that the food for two meals is like two of three parts of a loaf, when three loaves are prepared from a kav of wheat. In other words, what he's saying is, the measure of two sudos is 2/3 of a loaf of the size of 1/3 of a kav. So it's like 2/9 of a kav. By the way, based on this, and they use this shear, because we also said, I think in Daf Pei, that the shear of two meals is what? 18 brogros, 18 dried figs. So we're saying 18 dry figs is, so based on this, we figure out, how we use this to figure out the shear of a kezias, that it's less than, I believe that it's less than a shear of a fig. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is more lenient, he's saying, I think it's 2/9 of a kav, and therefore one seuda is 1/9 of a kav. So based on that, so that's the size of a fig is 1/9 of a kav, and based on that, they calculate, because we know a fig is smaller than a kezias, I think it's the reverse. One second. I think the fig might be larger. You know what? I'm going to go over my notes and I'll just post it on the chat. But I think that they use this shear to calculate the shear of a kezias, because I think we know that a shear of a fig, I think, has to be smaller than a shear of a kezias. So basically, whatever the kav amount is, that's what they connect to the kezias. But I'll post something on the WhatsApp chat. So chetzia lebeis habeduga. So the half of a kikar, which is the size of that if you delay there for a period of time in a house where there is, let's say, there's tuma there, so the shear for which you have to remain there, for which you would become tame, is the half of a kikar, the time it takes to eat half of a kikar. So then your garments become tame. V'chachi chetcha lipsol asagviya. And half a loaf is the shear to invalidate the body. Meaning what? The Chachamim made a decree that if you eat tame foods with the shear of a half a meal, in other words, if you eat Half of a half. So in other words, if you eat a house that has, let's say, tzaras, and you remain long enough to eat this amount of food, then the clothes become tame, and a half of a half, a chatzi chetzia, a quarter of this loaf is the amount of food that disqualifies your body. In other words, the tame food of this amount of a quarter imparts tuma to the body of the eater and disqualifies you mid derabanan from eating truma. Okay, so we're going to discuss, the Gemara is going to discuss more about that. So the Gemara says the following: the kama mazon shtei sudos. So how much is food of two sudos? So Rabbi Yehuda Marav tarti rifta ikariyasa, two loaves of farmers. They work on the ground, and when they go to their work, to the field, they typically take with them bread in a certain size, and two loaves are like these are mazon shtei sudos. So Rav Ada Bar Abba Mar Tarti Rifta Nahar Papaisa. So he says that it's two loaves that you typically bake in a place in the name that's called Nahar Papa. Amar Le Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Bered Rava Avuch Kaman Svirle. Like which opinion does your father hold? Like Rav Meir or like Rav Yehuda? Now, normally speaking, that by Eruv we generally follow, you know, what you typically, you're Muslim, what you typically eat. And so should you follow the Shabbos, right? Should you follow the how big your Shabbos meal is, like Rabbi Huda, or like what your weekday meal is, like Rabbi Meir? So if you also, the son of Rabbi Rava says, Kraber Svirle. So I hold like Rabbi Meir that you bring Muslim Shtei Sudos of your weekday meals, which is smaller than Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef also says, Adonami Kraber Svirle. I also hold like Rabbi Meir. The e Rabbi Huda, if I hold a Rabbi Huda, Kasha Hadamri Inche Ravcha Livsima Shchiach, then it's difficult because people typically say that there's always room for more sweets. Generally speaking, if you eat delicacies, you eat more, and therefore the amount of food on Shabbos meals is greater than that of weekday meals. So Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not true. Rabbi Huda says that because you have three meals, you eat less during every meal. That apparently is not the common practice. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that essentially that you measure the amount of food for two meals, right? That's Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Shimon had the difference between Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Shimon. They had a debate. And Tana Ukrovim Divrayim Liol Shavim. Their opinion is almost the same. How big the bread is. Mi dami Rav Yochanan arba sudas l'kava. Is that really true? According to Rav Yochanan, he says that there are four meals in a kav. In other words, he feels that food for two meals is equivalent for a loaf that can be purchased with a pundion, which is 1/48 of a sela, and four sa'ah are bought for a sela. So since there are 24 kavs in four sa'ah, So there are 24 kavs in four sa'ah. So a loaf which is a loaf purchased with a pundion is a half of a kav, right? Because a pundion is 1/48 of a sela. So if for a sela you can get 24 kavs, I'm sorry, you can get 24 kavs for four sela. So therefore, a pundion which is 1/48, so that would be that basically each meal is a quarter of a kav. Or there are four meals in a kav. So that doing the math, that's what you get out of it. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon, right? Teisha sudas l'kava. He holds there are nine meals to a kav, because he holds that food for two meals is 2/3 of a loaf, equal in size to 1/3 of a kav. So what does that mean? One meal is, now if two meals is 2/3 of a loaf equal to 1/3 of a kav. So one meal is 1/3 of a loaf, which is equal to 1/3 of a kav. So 1/3 of a loaf, that's 1/3 of a kav, which is what? 1/9 of a kav, right? If a loaf is 1/3 of a kav, so 1/3 of a loaf is 1/9 of a kav. So that's very different. So one holds there are nine meals to a kav. That's what Shimon Yochanan holds. There are four meals to a kav. So Amar of Chista, says back to them that Tse Behen Shlish Lechen Vani. He says that deduct one third, because the storekeeper gets a one third of a profit. He takes one third of a profit, so this adds to the total cost. So Vakati Lamar Tisha Lamar Shis. Well, that's still 9 to 6. Let's say Rav Yochanan Broka was 4, right? He says you get 4 to a kav. You add one third, you get up to a sixth. You get up to 6, right? Because one third means one third of the total amount. So one third of 6 is 2. So it's 2 goes to the broker, to the grocer, and 4 goes to the individual. So you still have 9 versus 6. So Ella Kidach de Rav Chista. So rather, no, we'll follow the other statement of Chista. Dabar Tzebe Had Bechsel Chedvadi. So okay, so he says deduct one half for the Chedvadi's markup. So if that's the case, so you go off, so he doesn't make only a third, he makes a half. He makes it. So then what are you up to? From 4 you go up to 8. Vakati Lamar Tesha Lamar Tamni. So but still 9 to 8. So Gemara says, "Hayni dekamar krom divrayam lios shavim." No, that's good. That's why we said that now their opinions are close to each other. Because once you have the markup, then you're up the difference between 8 kav versus 9 kav. So they're 9 for a kav versus 8 for a kav. So that's very similar. So now the Gemara says, "But wait a second, kashid or chista or chista." So now these two statements of chista argue on each other. Because once he says you get a third of a markup, once you get a half of a markup. So kasha. The difference is whether the Baal Bayis provides the grocer, the baker, wood. If he provides wood to the baker, so therefore he only marks it up by one third. But if he doesn't provide the wood, so he's got to pay for the cost of wood, and therefore he marks the price by a half. Okay? All right. We are done with the daf today. Hope everyone has a good Shabbos. And God willing, I will...